Yeah, there you go. Yeah, just stick it down and drag them in and drag them home.
That was after we were hanging around. All
right. So I'm going to call the 29th of December 2016 Prudential Committee of the Kituit Fire District in order. Could I please have introductions starting on my right?
Michael Bailey, Treasurer.
Laurie Hadley, Prudential Committee.
Stan Goldstein, Prudential Committee.
Joey Eager, Clerk.
Fran Parks, Prudential Committee. No public comment. So the first item on the agenda is a request to be able to do remote meeting participation by the union negotiating committee with their attorney, which would allow them to consult with their attorney without Mr. Hodnett driving all the way down here for an hour and a half and back, which we pay for.
Okay, this is the negotiating committee.
This is the negotiating committee. But in order to do that, the Prudential Committee or whoever is the chief of the public body has to have a remote participation policy in effect. And this is the, I've given you each the chapter and verse from the state. The most important thing is that on this is you can have a remote participation for personal illness, personal disability, an emergency, military service, or geographic distance. And a telephone can be used in internet or satellite-enabled audio and video conferencing. the only is all members, when you're any votes that are taken during the meeting must all be roll call votes. And that's the other requirement. So... I'd like to. Any questions?
Now, where was that part about the equipment that you can use?
It's on technology on the second page.
Okay, so you could use a phone and we wouldn't have to buy any special equipment.
No, we don't have to buy any special equipment. We do have to buy, I've looked into getting speaker phones. So we'll need a speakerphone for here, and we can get one for $35. So.
Sounds like a good idea.
Speakerphone or the remote conference kind of thing?
No,
not Skype. That's a video. But I forget the word of it. There's something you set up right in the middle of the table.
Yeah, it's like a pod.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, is that what you're referring to?
No, I'm referring to a standard issue AT&T phone that has speaker capabilities. The remote pod things cost $200 to $300.
Yeah, the problem with the phones, the speaker, the phones, is they're pretty much directional. So it'll be difficult to hear all the participants if you put a telephone in the middle of the table. That's
I tend to agree because really multi-directional.
Yes, we have a phone.
Have a long enough cable to get it together.
Well, I figured we'd just move the table up there.
That's good. So at least you got a phone.
Yeah.
Phone cable. So where you're going to be sitting with the wire, you have to make sure that everybody kind of
yeah.
around it. You just use the speaker phone. You can try it.
Well, we did it once in the chief's office. And with just a plain old speakerphone, and it all seemed to work okay. So if it doesn't, you know, if it's not suitable, then, you know, we can go for the more expensive option, but that I'm sure will require some updating to our phone because I don't think you just attach a wire to it.
No, the pod is a phone.
It's a phone,
it's
yeah.
It's mounted and the speaker is omnidirectional.
Right.
So everybody can see and hear. Remote
conference.
Right. Okay.
And sometimes when someone's speaking, if someone speaks over them, you don't pick up everything when you're looking on the other end.
Okay.
Meeting phone is
Well, I could certainly look and see if I can find a less expensive, or I could talk to Dan. Is that the assistant chief in West Barnstable? Our surplus person?
No, David.
David, yeah. Well, I'll see what I can do.
Yeah, you can get
to vote your policy regardless.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You can get a cable, or a telephone cable, 50, 100 feet.
Oh yeah.
For just a few bucks. I mean, you know, 10, 15 bucks.
So.
Tom's pretty good at those.
Well, I guess I would.
Somebody to hook things up.
I guess I would make a motion that we set up to have a remote meeting, you know, for participation for. Our meeting. I don't know if you said it for a specific meeting or
no,
any type of meeting.
It's a blanket policy. It'd be a blanket policy for all the committees.
So if you're away on vacation, the water board is away, the fire board is away, they can
remote. Okay, so
let me. Around the bargain.
Yeah, right, yeah.
So let me try to rephrase that. I move that we purchase equipment to enable us to do remote meeting participation for the various boards in the Couture Fire District.
And adopt the policy as written.
Adopt the policy as written.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
So this is the open meeting law. Isn't this a part of the open?
Yeah,
meeting?
It is. Yeah. Okay. So the next item is the trees overhanging our building. On the north side of the building. So I've had three arborists look at it. I had not your average tree fellers and Bartlett, and not your average tree for clearing over our building all the trees, four trees on the side, and thinning out the tree in front, the maple in front, was $2,250. Tree fellers was $2,000, and Bartlett was $1,100. I spoke to Mr. Ceratani about, because Bartlett need to use his roadway, and he's still recovering from his hip surgery, so he said it's fine that you can use it any time. So my recommendation is that we go with Bartlett.
Are we cutting down trees on the?
No, we're
just thinning or trimming.
Getting, because they're overhanging our building,
yeah.
So we're just thinning them.
Well, I make a motion then that we accept the proposal from Bartlett
for $1,100.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So the treasurer's search report. The committee has come up with three candidates that we're planning to interview, and everyone on this board, pardon me, is available January 4th, which is a Wednesday, and I will let the chief in West Barnstable know that, and I believe they're going to start at 7 p.m.
So all three candidates will be here?
No, we'll be. We're meeting in West Barnstable. At the West.
Meeting between the two boards at the West Barnstable Fire Station. All three candidates are going to be up there.
So they'll be up there, yeah.
Yeah.
And they're on 149, is it? Over there.
You can't miss it. Yep.
Right.
Yeah. Just over the hill after. Yeah. Okay.
Can I make an assumption that you pretty much qualify these people as far as their firefighting capability and it's other things that we're interested in, because I frankly, you know, wouldn't know what to ask them, how you're going to put out a fire.
Treasurer.
Why am I thinking 6 months ahead?
Do you use a pencil?
I have to put on my thinking cap.
Okay.
No, we're not going to have a joint fire chief.
No, I don't think so.
I'll take Joe, though, in a nanosecond.
Oh, yeah.
So, okay, 4 p.m. Wednesday, 7 p.m. 4th of January at West Barnstable. I'll get it right yet.
Yeah. So I have their resumes, and I'll get the I'll copy them and get them to you.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
USDA loan.
This one's kind of sideways on us again. I think you're all up to speed that there were some document issues. The district attorney did not meet certain delivery dates with certain documents, and as of today, the federal agents have pretty much committed to not meeting that meeting. Spent the day trying to put together another note sale. I mean, all of a couple of us said they could take another 30 days beyond our current target of the 18th of January. So we agreed to put a note out, a note sale next week. If you could hold a meeting on the 9th, we'll book the notes. And then we'll try to do it all over again and look at 2 million from the Fed. I haven't spoken to Mark, but the Fed's confirmed today. His deadline is December 6th. There was about 5 or 6 documents. And as of today, he still hasn't delivered them. He has contacted him. Since I contacted him to find out what will and when. So I haven't spoken to Mark. I just know that.
How far out do we want to roll them? What how much, what's the increase in cost if we go out for 60 days and give ourselves a little breathing room?
Well, it's probably going to be about a percentage point. The rate, the last time we sold, I think, were 90 basis points. So it's not a lot of money. I hope, and there's always the possibility that the Fed will deliver the $2 million by the 18th when I know we're scheduled to be paid. So as soon as I get the $2 million, I'm going to be investing now while I'm paying the interest on the $2 million I borrowed because I had to wait for the $2 million. So I'll offset some of the costs with some investment income. The thing is, when is Mark going to get me my money? I assume that the Fed is confident that they're close. Mark has indicated the papers are all worked up and chasing some loose ends as of late last week and maybe sometime this week. So we're going to assume that he may be getting in time to get it done by the 18th, but we just can't take that risk because I can't call the bank on the 17th and say, I'm missing a couple million bucks.
Yeah, let's give it take.
It doesn't do much for our credit rating.
Yeah.
So, I'm going out 30 days because I think that's the prudent thing to do. So with me, I'd probably be cutting it to 15. But I don't think we want to spend another month worth of interest, 60 days. I think we can get it done by 30 days. As it was, I budgeted the note to be paid in November because the contractor was supposed to be done and deliver the tank back to us in August. And we couldn't close in November because they hadn't finished building the bloody thing. So this is the second time we've been knocked off our schedule by external forces. I'm not going to let a third one happen. I'll get Mark to get paid in time, and I'll get the money.
Okay, you need. I mean, do we need to build the fire? You're talking about Mark Boudreau?
Yeah.
Do we need to build a fire?
Well, I think we just let Mike.
Yeah, right. Well,
come next week, if I haven't gotten an indication from the feds that things are cooking along again, I will contact Mark. He knows that we know. Let's put it that way. I don't think we need to beat the guy up.
Yeah.
I think he lost control and some flipped on us. But I think you need to think about, you know, how good and efficient the attorney is.
Well, I suspect it's not the type of thing that Mark deals with on a daily basis.
He's a real estate guy.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But I'm not gonna argue that.
No,
I think that
I just,
you're aware of
no,
the problem.
Yeah.
You're gonna deal with it. It's a pain in the butt, but there isn't a lot of recourse unless you want to see a real risk. Hope that it all works out.
No, we can't take risks. No. I can, but we can't.
There you go. So we'll go ahead and proceed to do a no sale and schedule a meeting for that Monday the 9th.
Yep. Okay, do we need a motion to authorize Mike to do all that that he just said?
We need to schedule a meeting.
We just need to schedule a meeting.
Okay.
So,
you said the 9th?
The 9th,
so
yeah.
Monday afternoon.
That's fine.
Yeah. So,
5 o'clock.
5 o'clock is okay? Okay, I'll do 5 o'clock. Okay, so, I do have an item that was not reasonably anticipated. The construction project next door, I have spent more time than I care to trying to chase people out of our parking lot. They're just, everybody's using it for access. We've had the pool guys and just regular old pool trucks couldn't seem to go down the driveway, but they were parked in this parking lot while they did the stuff for the pool. And then... let's see. The next thing was when they dug the hole, they used the biggest trucks they had to take the sand away, so of course they used our parking lot to go back and forth. I was here two days ago, and the foundation people were here in trucks that would easily fit down the road over there, but they were using this parking lot and parking halfway on it. The general contractor is using this parking lot to come and go. I spent 40 minutes on the phone with him the other day explaining that, you know, we agreed to limited use for just, you know, things like the concrete delivery or maybe the lumber delivery. And so this isn't a big surprise, working out well. So we now have all kinds of oil all over the parking lot from somebody's dripping truck. And I've been contacted by several people in the village who aren't happy that they're using the parking lot. So I'm going to be calling Mr. LaPointe. I'm done talking to Mr. Cataldo, who's just shining me on it, basically. And, you know, I tend to agree with one of the people that commented that we ought to just rent one of those fences and put it up at the end of our parking lot. And they'll figure out how to get the stuff done.
You'd probably figure out how to take the fence down.
And the water's probably put a saw.
Yeah.
Come on the property and rent the saw and put them down there?
Probably.
Been any other than the oil stains, any real damage to the parking lot?
No, just that there's a lot of oil stains out there. But that's not, you know, that's only part of the point. The point is that
we sat here and they agreed to
X number of trips.
And if there was damage, we could really go at it.
Yeah. And they're not living up to their part of the bargain.
No.
And, you know, so I'm just going to...
Can we get... the water department, rather than he's talking about the sawhorse, and I know they use their vehicles all the time, but they may have a day where this truck's not being used, or a day when the other truck's not being used. They can just park the truck there. I mean, that's a real hassle for them. But I mean, you know,
yeah.
We get the point across when there's a truck park.
Fire department, water department, we must have a couple of sawhorses.
Yeah.
A parade or something. You know, put them out there.
How about the fire department boat?
Yeah.
That's the thought.
That's the structure of the
money. Right.
I don't know if I want to sacrifice it, but they'll be less likely to use that.
Yeah.
And get the message. But that may be your alternative to
talking
on here.
I'm going to, yeah.
If they continue, then they'll be.
We will let it. some way block the parking.
Yeah.
Yeah, this isn't gonna, I mean, you know, I'm, because this guy over here has started doing work on his property, you know, and, so, all right. any concerns or?
Yeah, one. The supervisor that passed, the water supervisor that passed away that was looking for survivor benefits, I was wondering.
That's another Mark question, or Charlie, I sent that email. Have we ever voted the proper section of 32B for the beneficiaries of the deceased retiree?
I don't recall it back, you know, 20 years ago.
I don't see anything, you know, summary of it, but there's no evidence that we took the vote, and we'll just let the woman know that.
Mm-hmm.
And you may want to think about putting that on a annual one.
Right.
What would that mean? I mean, other, obviously, them putting on, what would it mean financially?
It's all actuarial. I mean, you have very limited number of these situations, but as we live longer and retire younger, there'll be definitely spouses that will be looking for benefits. This particular retiree didn't choose a benefit that provided financial stream cash to the surviving spouse either. Just because they choose a benefit that ends upon their death.
Yeah, single life, yeah.
Doesn't get benefit from the district for health insurance just because the retirement system is distributing cash to them. They make a payment to the board like several others do, but now it's going to have enough in the pension check to cover it. So I'm guessing, I give you a schedule every year, I don't have it all locked down in my head, but I'm guessing we've probably got 10 maybe retirees, and probably 6 or 7 are married. So, you know, you're looking at the potential of pregnancies with women are with men, most of them are men. There's one couple that's married, that are both retirees. So, you know, it's going to cost something someday. You can leave it alone and avoid that. That's part of your plan. That's why I said before, I think the district needs a plan document, so that people understand what they're getting and what they're not getting. If they want to buy up, then that's negotiable. And every time somebody gets a free Benny, you know, if you don't negotiate, you end up spending more on salary because that's all they pay.
Yeah.
So it would have a cost. You could have it actuarially calculated what it would cost, and it might be prudent for you to do, but it would cost you something.
You're talking about a retirement benefit, effectively?
It's a retirement benefit, yes. It's a surviving spouse annuity payment until their death.
That comes from the military.
This would be their health insurance would be paid beyond the death of the retiree. If the spouse predeceased the retiree, you wouldn't have a question.
Right.
So it's a game of which spouses are younger and more robust than which spouses that are retirees.
Yeah.
But I'd say you've got about 6 or 8 wives out there that may think they have coverage that don't.
Yeah, so this is not, the union stuff is separate. This is just.
Well, this would be a union item, and it also water employees have the same thing, but they don't even bargain. They just get raised.
Yeah.
So I'm not thrilled with the way you handle your labor negotiations here, never have been. But clearly this is an expensive benefit that if you just give it, there's no quid pro quo for it.
Yeah.
So people will line up and vote it, I'm sure, but
You
need to think about
negotiate it beforehand.
Yeah. No, I do have that kind of coverage, and Tom had part of his retirement pay went for a period of years, and then we reached a point where he didn't have to pay him anymore.
So
now you guys are paying for it.
There's a whole table to select from that continues benefits it defines whether you can exceed 50% employer contribution or not. So I think there's 2 votes on the survivor. So you've already voted to allow above the 50%. So you at a minimum have to vote to provide health insurance to surviving spouses, except that section of chapter 32B. And I think that's all you would have to do in the actuary to tell you what it costs.
We probably ought to look at that anyway.
Yeah.
And the woman had just called yesterday, and Tony asked me this morning, so I was going to ask if you did.
That's something else, Fran.
Mm-hmm.
I was just wondering, at the last meeting, reading the minutes, we did talk about, at least I talked about getting Mark Boudreau to send a letter off to the responsible state department to get a legal reading on whether the whether we need, you know, just an executive summary minutes or we can use a transcript. Can we ask Mark to do that? Or did we ask Mark to do that?
No, I haven't asked him. I just haven't gotten to it. I can do that. I think the problem is that when we started using the transcripts, the fire commissioners had someone contact the Secretary of State office, and who's actually in charge of minutes. And you know, they said it was not clean and dry, clean and fast. That it was murky. That you know, so we took it to understand that at that point in time, transcripts could be used. You called the AG's office.
Yeah, and they told me that, yeah, if you're publishing a transcript, you don't need minutes. We were publishing a transcript and a recording.
Yeah.
So I would like to see something in writing.
Okay.
From the state saying you can or you can't.
Okay. So
the other thing that has to do with this, one of the things I'm going to be bringing up at the Policy Advisory Committee, we already had one meeting, we didn't talk about this, is, you know, I became aware of the fact that Jen in the Water Department, she sits right down after the meeting and does the minutes and then maybe even a transcript. I'm not sure if she does both.
She's an employee. The Advisory Committee doesn't have an employee.
That's what I'm going to. We should look at cross-utilization of the district's employees, because they work for the district and not for the water department, not for the water department, not for the fire department, but we're paying them. So, I mean, there may be issues there. They may need an extra hour or two that week or something or whatever. There may be other things, but we should look at cross-utilizing those people. But first, let's find out if we can get have Mark Boudreau get us a letter from somebody that's in charge, and that whether we can use a transcript or a minutes.
I'm gonna ask him to speak with people both in the AG's office and at the Secretary of State's office.
He's gonna send the letter to both of them and see if they agree.
Well, AG now controls it because the law changed
from the open meeting law. Yeah.
Yeah. The Secretary of State formally controls it, but I think the AG is the player to deal with.
Okay. Cool.
All right. Anything else?
Yeah, so, you know, I'm really going to train. No audience.
Do you have minutes?
Yeah, we have minutes.
Two sets.
November 15th and December 14th. Any concerns about those minutes?
No.
No, I've read the minutes, and I would move that we accept both the minutes as written.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. I will accept a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.